Shalom, 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 man. This is the Najit Melchizedek, man, with the Nation of Hepzibah, Thessalocratic, Hepzibah, Goshen Guard Security Forces. If you need security, Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, coming soon to Louisiana and Florida, let us know. Also, man, if you are Israelite looking to get into security in any of those states, in Mississippi, Tennessee, Georgia, I got a job for you. In Louisiana or Florida, I may have an opportunity for you to get into business with us if you would like to, man. The way I set up my business, man, is a way to build my nation. In every single state, I have somebody with, what they call it? I'm drawing a blank. I have somebody with equity. There we go. With equity in the business. So you'll get a percentage of the business in that state to come help us run the business in that state, man. But shalom. We got on here today, man. This is Thessalocratic Helps, but this is the podcast, man, where we discuss all the pertinent information to Israel all over the world, man. Today, we got on here to discuss the situation. We're going to call it the build-up. We're going to call this one the build-up because we're going to discuss the build-up to World War III, the build-up to a new nation, the build-up to a new world, the build-up to Christ coming back, all the build-ups, but they all link one to another. Boom, 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 boom. All right, we all know the situation that's going on right now in Taiwan with China. All right, we all know the situation that's going on with Ukraine and Russia. And some of us know the situation that's going on with Serbia and Kosovo. All right, some of us know that situation. Some of us know the situation that's going on with Saudi Arabia and Yemen. All right, some of us know the situation that's going on with India and Pakistan. We're going to discuss all of these things today and how they all fit into the world the way that we see it, right? We're going to discuss all these things. Because a lot of times, man, because Israelites, in general, Israelites and even the righteous of the world, if you want to say it, we've been detached for so long, all right, from being a nation. And generally speaking, the world is detached from understanding how to make decisions from a nation standpoint. See, back in the 2000s, right, you can go back and research, a lot of the Israelite camps were teaching that Christ was coming back in the year 2000. All right, the year 2000 came, nothing happened, so it caused a little bit of a falling away. And we, in this age, got to make sure that we don't fall into the same trap by telling people nuclear holocaust is coming tomorrow. You know, that World War III is going to start next month. All right? We have to be tapered in our conversations. The same way I was very tapered to call the COVID-19 vaccine the mark of the beast, right? Because there are certain things that has to happen after the mark of the beast, and there are certain things you can't come back from the mark of the beast. So you have to be tapered, all right, in your takes. All right? You can't get lost in the world because we're not of the world. All right, so you got to read the word, and you got to really follow the spirit. And you know, the Bible tells us, be careful asking for the day of wrath because you don't know what your end is going to be. Right? That day of wrath is going to be bad for everybody involved. Yeah, right? We're going to be able to see some light at the end of the tunnel that others might not be able to see because we're going to be able to see our salvation drawing near. Right? But it's still going to be a hard time. Like, I got this bottle of water right here. It's not going to be feasible. Right? I got food in my kitchen. It's not going to be feasible. You understand? So we have to make sure that we're ready for what's coming and that we actually know what's coming based on prophecy, not based on our own wishes. All right? So that's another form of vanity. That's another form of lust. Right? When we're just wanting the end and we want the end and we want the end. And so we call things the end that may not be the end. We push forward things that the Most High God hasn't pushed forward. All right? We're going to discuss all these things today. You got to understand that nations take a lot more into consideration when they're declaring war on a great power, right? So China can attack Taiwan, all right? If Taiwan didn't have even possible U.S. support, China would already attack Taiwan. They can beat Taiwan. China can beat Taiwan, just like Russia can beat Ukraine. The problem that China runs into with Taiwan is they know they're going to have to be able to defend that Western fleet of the U.S. They're at least going to have to be able to get past the blockade, and they're going to have to be prepared to possibly go to war with Japan, with the U.S., with Australia. All right? And they can't take this lightly because the U.S. is a great power. The U.S., regardless, even in their fallen state, they're still a top three military in the world. Some people say top two. Some people say still number one. All that's debatable. To put it in perspective, China has built one aircraft carrier. The U.S. has four just in the Indo-Pacific. That's the difference. So China has to take that into consideration. China, say if they wanted to attack someone who has no friends, if they wanted to attack, what's the country over there? Singapore, maybe. All right. They could attack Singapore. As long as no one has declared they were going to defend Singapore, they could attack Singapore tomorrow and they wouldn't think twice about it. The same thing Russia did with Ukraine. They didn't have to think twice about attacking Ukraine because they knew the Western world wouldn't help them militarily, so they know I can dominate Ukraine. All right? The same way if the United States wanted to attack, like, the Bahamas. Right? No one's going to come to the defense of the Bahamas. That's not the U.S. friend. Great Britain, if somebody else attacked, they might come to the aid of the Bahamas, but nobody else is coming to the aid of the Bahamas. If the U.S. wanted to attack them, they could, and we wouldn't have to think twice about it. Not for the U.S. to attack China, we have to think twice. Because even if I have supreme confidence in my armed forces that they can finish this war eventually and we can win this war eventually, it's still going to cost me greatly. Right? It's going to cause death. It's going to cause pestilence. It's going to cause economic downturn, which with an eventual economic upswing, which is one reason why the U.S. goes to war so much. But it's going to cause immediate economic downturn. It's going to cause immediate grief and sorrow, dead children coming home, the mother's political outcry. It's going to cause some real problems because this country is at least able to give us a fight. And so just the ability to give us a fight, all right, may cause us some issues. So countries have to think about this. Russia could not just attack Iran tomorrow, even though they're friends. I'm just using an example. Because Iran has a formidable military. All right. China can't just attack Japan. Japan can't just attack China. All right. Great Britain can't just attack France. These are things you have to plan for militarily, right? You got to get your supply chains in order. You got to make sure you got the right people in the right place to be able to help these people in case this happens. You have to plan for every possible scenario economically, all right, on the homeland and in the land that you're attacking. So these things take time to build up. Why do you think China didn't just attack? We'll speak on the Taiwan situation a little early. Why do you think China didn't just attack Taiwan yesterday? Nancy Pelosi was there. They told the U.S. don't send Nancy Pelosi. Why do you think they don't just attack Taiwan yesterday? They drew that red line in the sand. Why do you think they didn't do it? Because if they attack Taiwan while Nancy Pelosi is there, the U.S. government has no choice. They don't even give the U.S. a choice but to declare war on China. The U.S. would have to declare war on China. No ifs, no ands, no buts about it. The U.S. would have to declare war on China. The U.S. does not, China doesn't want to go to war with the U.S. Not right now. They will. They have to. But they don't want to. All right. If the U.S. invaded Hong Kong, they would go to war with the U.S. They don't have a choice. If they invaded Macau, they would have to go to war with the U.S. They don't have a choice. But if they have a choice, they're not going to put themselves in a situation that the U.S. is going to get involved. Because they think about it logically. Now, eventually, they did speed up the timeline. See, Nancy Pelosi left today, and then now China is starting military drills. They're pretty much barricading Taiwan. They're putting military exercises, warships, or their aircraft carrier, all right, around every single corner of Taiwan to cut them off from the rest of the world. You remember what they did to Jerusalem, the seize of Jerusalem? That's the same thing China is doing to Taiwan right now. They waited until Nancy Pelosi left, and they put a blockade in place. Watch the breakdown. They're building up ships in the Fujian province of China. It's the closest. I'm going to figure out the technology, man, to put videos. As a matter of fact, and I may just have to edit it. But it's a buildup in the Fujian province right now, all right, of troops, of military equipment, of fighter jets. They call them Stingray fighter jets in China. All right, there's a buildup in the Fujian province, which is the closest province to Taiwan. They can get to Taiwan in the shortest amount of time from that province, and it's a buildup of troops there. They're saying it's for military exercises, but I want to take y'all back. I want to take y'all back when I was first posting on my story. And I'm going to try to go find them and repost them. When I was first posting on my story and on my page about the buildup, about the Russian buildup of troops in the Ukrainian border, it started over a year. Over a year before they actually attacked Ukraine, but it got really bad about 3 months before. They started sending a lot of troops there about 3 months before, right? And so while they're sending those troops there, Russia's saying, oh, this is just for military exercises. This is a normal military exercise. Then you wake up one morning and Vladimir Putin says, we've launched a special military operation in the Ukraine to denazify the Ukraine. Boom. All right, so very quickly, this military exercise turned into a special military operation. So they could avoid saying we declare war on, it's just a special military operation. All right, that's the same thing China is doing right now. It's a buildup of troops. They're going to say it's just for military operation. We're just blockading the nation for a military operation. And then watch what happens. Watch what happens. It won't end with a so-called military operation. It's going to end with China invading Taiwan within the next year. All right. They made it even a plan. All right. To invade Taiwan in the next year. But with that Nancy Pelosi visit, Nancy Pelosi, the little people who don't know, she's third in line for the presidency. If the president and the vice president die, Nancy Pelosi is the president. That's a high level, that's a high ranking U.S. official. A regular senator can go all the time, a regular member of the House of Representatives can go all the time, but when the person that's third in line for the presidency, you could call it the third most powerful politician in the country, and it wouldn't be necessarily a lot. Probably the fourth. Joe Manchin got a little more power than her because he's a swing vote. But as far as presidential line of succession, she's the third most powerful politician in the United States. And she went to visit Taiwan. That's a problem for China. And I'm going to tell you another reason. I put this on my, you can go back and watch my Instagram live at Anajah Melchizedek. But you can go back and watch my Instagram live, man, and you'll see what I'm talking about. I told people then, you know, China has a rough situation to deal with. The Communist Party in China has a rough situation to deal with, you know. In the United States, we saw what Donald Trump lost. He's able to go back to it. They trying to, you know, put some lawsuits on him in January 6th commission, all this stuff. But for the most part, he's able to go back to his, you know, golf course in Florida and live his regular life. Quite frankly, you could even call it living a better life than, you know what I'm saying, than what he was living before he was president. Maybe not for him because he lost some money because, you know, he got a little rough. But most presidents, right? George W. Bush, he just went back to his ranch in Texas and made more money. Obama went into office worth about $200,000, left office worth about $200 million. So, and more than that, that's what he let us see. All right. So most of our presidents leave office, even if we completely disagree to when they leave. And when I say our, I'm gonna put this out there too, right? When I say our or we, when speaking in terms of the U.S., it's the same thing Paul said. They asked Paul, man, are you a Roman citizen? Paul said, yes. The guy who looks more Roman than him said, I had to pay a hefty price for my citizenship. Paul said, I was born with it. All right, now I'm a U.S. citizen. Now, when we can get ourselves together and we can build a nation, all right, and I can now claim that nation, I'll do that. When I can have a passport of that nation, I'll do that. Or ID for that nation, I'll do that. When I can live in their land, I'll do that. Right now, that's not an option. Y'all can say, oh, cool, I'm going to move to Africa. I'm going to move here, I'm going to move there. They still under the thumb of Babylon. It's rare countries not under the thumb of Babylon. Unless you're moving to Venezuela, Cuba, North Korea, Russia, maybe Serbia, maybe South Africa sometimes, Brazil sometimes, Argentina sometimes. You're still in Peru and Colombia sometimes. All right, you're still on the thumb of Babylon. And even those countries I said sometimes, the only guarantees are Cuba, Venezuela, North Korea. Those are only three countries in the world, and Iran. But you also don't want to be on the Ayatollah because hopefully you're not a Muslim. So those are, it's only three countries in the world, all right, where you can really go and not be under the thumb of Babylon or be under the threat of possibly being under the thumb of Babylon at some point. All right, so you, well, the reason I say we is that reason. All right, I can't deny the fact. I can also claim my nationality and say I'm an Israelite. I can also claim the Bible and say I'm a believer in the Bible. Right, I believe in the commandments and I believe in the Messiah. I have faith in the commandment. I mean, I keep the commandments and I have faith in the Messiah. I can tell you that. I can tell you in, on the rulership side, I'm an Israelite of the tribe of Judah. I think. I don't know for a fact, but I think I'm of the tribe of Judah. All right. So I can put all these things out there, but I can also have to say that I'm a U.S. citizen. But anyways, all right. China isn't like the U.S. All right. If the Communist Party loses power in China, right, if they start getting votes of no confidence and the people start to rise up and they can't quell the uprising, and the uprising actually leads to a change, every major, Xi Jinping, who's the, he's the president, per se, if you want to put it that way, the supreme leader of China, he's going to die. His son's going to die. His wife's going to die. His daughter's going to die. His uncle's going to die. His nephews and his nieces are going to die. They're going to kill their whole family. His second in command, his immediate family going to die. Third in command, the ruling party is going to die. So it's not like they can just go and retire and go. If the Communist Party loses power, the leading people are not going to be living anymore. They're going to die. So they can allow Taiwan to cause everywhere else within China to get this sense of we can be independent if we want to. The same reason they couldn't let Hong Kong stand the way it was standing. All right, for a while, when the British gave back Hong Kong, I forgot what year it was. But China said, okay, we'll be one country, two systems, right? We'll let them continue on this democratic stuff, and we'll stay up here. We'll be communist. About 2 years into that, China said, nah, I was just joking. Listen, they're going to have to be communist too, because what we can't do is allow the people in the other parts of China to think, oh, man, we deserve the same rights they get. We can do the same thing they can do. No, that's not how it works. All right? We got to keep this iron fist, because this iron fist, with all due respect, right, people talk a lot of shit about China. This iron fist took China from 1960, eating rice patties, almost dying, starvation, starving to death. That iron fist took them from that to the third most powerful country on the face of the earth. So the Communist Party has some legs to stand on there. Right? But they can't allow, right? They cannot allow dissidents to enter into the minds of their citizens, which is the reason why they have to take back Taiwan. It would almost be like the if Puerto Rico declared its independence, the U.S. didn't want it to, and we couldn't take back Puerto Rico. Well, the U.S. is going to lose a lot of flavor on the world stage if we can't beat Puerto Rico. All right, and that's the same thing China's doing with Taiwan. They have to be able to beat Taiwan to show force, not only to their nation, but to show force to the rest of the world. All right? But also, man, let's get into it, right? Let's get into it, all right? We're going to start with BRICS right here. So first, you know, we have NATO, of course. We're going to read off the NATO members to you. These are the factions, all right? So if you want to go East versus West, these are the factions that's going to end up, all right, fighting World War II. All right, so you got NATO member countries. I'm going to name off all of them, and I'm going to tell you the major players. All right, all the member countries, all right, are Albania, Belgium, Bulgaria, Canada, Croatia, Czech Republic, Denmark, Estonia, France, Germany, Greece, Hungary, Iceland, Italy, Latvia, Lithuania, Luxembourg, Montenegro, Netherlands, North Macedonia, Norway, Poland, Portugal, Romania, Slovakia, Slovenia, Spain, Turkey, United Kingdom, and United States. All right, so those are all the members of NATO. Here are the major members. Who are the major players who are really, who are definitely going to get into a war if other NATO countries get into a war? You got Canada, all right? You got France. You got Germany. You got Greece. You got Italy, all right? You got Spain, you got the United Kingdom, Turkey, and the United States. These are the ones, and Turkey's actually a bit of a, it's a swinger. You don't really know which way Turkey, Turkey got very close ties to China and to Russia and to Iran. All right, so that's the other side of the equation. All right, but all these countries are definitely going to get involved if NATO goes into a war. And I'm going to be honest. That's a very powerful coalition. Right, it's very powerful. It's a very powerful coalition, and they actually have Article 5 that says an attack on one is an attack on all. They're pretty strong. All right, but this is the other side, right? So we will call that the West. All right, this is the East. You have an organization called BRICS. All right, BRICS stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. Those are the original BRICS nations, but now listen to this. All right, these are the countries who have applied for membership in the BRICS. And let me tell you, at this BRICS summit, just the way the world is going, these countries are going to consider, all right, that coalition of Russia, India, China, South Africa, all right, Brazil, are going to consider a lot of people for membership now. All right, you got Algeria, Nigeria, big player, Egypt, big player, Sudan, medium player, Turkey. Like I just said, they're kind of a swinger. So they could leave NATO easily and join BRICS. Saudi Arabia, big player. Pakistan, a nuclear power. All right. Bangladesh, not as big of a player. Indonesia, not as big of a player. Mexico, on the border with the U.S. Venezuela, already hangs with the BRICS nations, has no friends in the West, and is probably going to be a member sooner rather than later. All right. Argentina. Spoke about Argentina when I went live as well. Argentina is leaning very strong into China these days. So much so that it's upsetting some of the rest of the South American countries. And Iran, they both are attending the 2022 BRICS summit upon invitation by China. All right. And they actually applied and have their application on file to become members of BRICS. So Argentina and Iran are two very powerful nations. If you remember, Argentina actually went to war with the United Kingdom over the Falkland Islands. And gave them a run for their money for a couple of days. I mean, it's Great Britain at that point. It's 1980, Argentina, two different places. But look at that list of nations and understand that that list of nations can compete with NATO. Because put it like this, right? If you compare, let's take the top five NATO, because we got to take Turkey out of it, because we see Turkey on both lists. Let's take the top five NATO countries. The U.S., U.S. and Russia match up pretty equally, even if you want to take a little bit of China and say, okay, cool, that's an even matchup. The U.K., Saudi Arabia can beat the U.K. one-on-one, right? Next most powerful nation, France. France and Iran, pretty equal. Next most powerful nation, Germany. Germany and Nigeria ain't that far apart. Germany has the more advanced military equipment. Nigeria has the more a higher number of people available to them for their military. Right? Pakistan can beat any one of those countries one-on-one. Right? Because if you're on that list, if you pay attention, the only ones that have nuclear weapons are their own nuclear weapons are France, the U.S., and the U.K. Of this list, Russia has their own nuclear weapons. China has their own nuclear weapons. India has their own nuclear weapons. Pakistan has its own nuclear weapons. All of those countries have their own nuclear weapons. And Saudi Arabia can get nuclear weapons anytime they want because they got the money and they got the power with that oil. All right. So anytime they Saudi Arabia wants to get nuclear weapons, that they may already have them and just not telling anyone. All right, so these BRICS nations stack up pretty well against NATO. It won't be a simple war. All right, and now let's look at the wars that's currently going on, or even just the squabbles that's currently going on that involves NATO versus BRICS. We got two major ones, of course. Russia and Ukraine, who is backed by the West. Even though they're not a member of NATO, they're backed by the West. Russia and Ukraine. Taiwan isn't a member of NATO, but it's backed by the West and China. Those are two proxy wars. NATO, West versus East. Same thing has happened in Serbia and Kosovo. Kosovo is backed by NATO. They still have a NATO military force in Kosovo right now when they broke away from Serbia. All right, Serbia leans more towards the East. That's another proxy war. This is what I'm saying. This is what I mean by it takes time. So let's just imagine now Brazil gets into a spat. Let's take one that's actually possible, right? Over the Falkland Islands and the South Georgia Islands, let's say Argentina gets into a spat with Great Britain. All right, so now we got four players, right? On the eastern side, you have Argentina, Russia, China, and Serbia. On the western side, you have Kosovo, the UK, Taiwan backed by the West, and Ukraine backed by the West. So you have four players on each side. What happens if China's losing in Taiwan? Russia and Argentina have no choice but to come to the aid of Taiwan, but to come to the aid of China because they can't lose their biggest friends on the world stage. Let's say Argentina starts losing to the UK. Russia and China has to help Argentina because that's one of their biggest friends on the world stage. Russia starts losing to Ukraine. China and Argentina have to come help. Same thing if UK, Great Britain is losing to Argentina. All right, well, NATO has to come help. They don't have a choice. The West has to come help. All right, this is how you get into world wars. These little wars break out, boom, 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 just pop, pop, pop up. And then other countries, because they've aligned themselves so closely with those countries, they have to go help. They have to say, hey, now I got to help you because if I don't help you, I'm not going to have any help when I need it. See what I'm saying? All right, if I let my friend get killed, when somebody trying to kill me, I got no help. So they have to say, all right, cool. I'm going to help you because I'm going to need help. That's how World War gets started. And you see the buildup of it. Argentina versus the UK already happened in the 1980s, the Falklands War. Look it up. It's very plausible that Argentina get a little antsy again and go to war with the UK again. Then you got four versus four. I don't know which way South Africa going to swing, but I know right now which way they swing because they're a member of BRICS. They got strong ties with China. All of Africa has strong ties with China. China does the most business with Africa of any other nation on the face of the earth. China does more business in Africa than African nations do with each other. Put that in perspective. Most of them. Right, 90% of them. But we see, all right, we see how this goes, all right, and now you should be able to see the politics behind it. All right, so it's not as simple as Russia's going to attack the U.S. tomorrow or China's going to attack the U.S. tomorrow. Because Vladimir Putin even said it the other day, man. He said a nuclear war is going to have no winners. No one wins a nuclear war. Why? Because if Russia shoots a nuclear weapon at anybody in the Western Hemisphere, the United States is going to shoot one back. If they shoot one at most countries in the Eastern Hemisphere, the United States is going to shoot one back. Same thing with China. China shoots a nuke, the U.S., France are going to shoot one back. All right, so you're not going to be able to escape this. Once the nuclear warfare starts, it's going to end the world as we know it. All right, that's going to be the end, but it takes time to build up to that. Countries have to build up to that. Right now, we're just building up to the war, better yet, to the nuclear war. All right, we're still building up to the war. All right, it's coming soon, though. All right, so I can guarantee you this, right? In the next 20 years, we're going to see things you never thought you would see. In the next 20 years, World War III will be, it'll be actually visible. Right now, it's not even really visible. Right, it's war, Russia and Ukraine. It's kind of a war of attrition. It's not real boom, bam, because Ukraine's not that powerful. Russia kind of slow marching it because they don't want to completely bastardize the citizens because they want to make them more Russian. All right, China and Taiwan, they slow roll it for the same reason. China wants to make Taiwanese citizens Chinese. They don't want to bastardize them. They don't want to make them too upset with them. All right, so all that's being slow rolled. And no other real major issues are breaking out on the earth. It's little small ones that are going to fester to the point where they're big. All right, but we just got to watch all these things, man. We got to pay attention and we got to understand how it works. Because you don't want to be just speaking, right? And you don't really understand, because then you're going to cause other people to go off and, you know, not by your own will, right? Not by something that you wanted to do, but you will end up, all right, you'll end up making the world, or making people in the world, trying to come out of the world, confusing them, thinking this is going to happen when this isn't going to happen that soon, right? We may can understand that, but you got to make sure they can understand it as well. You got to make sure they understand what you're saying. All right, man, but pay attention to these BRICS nations and the nations I just named off that's trying to join BRICS. Pay attention to NATO and the wars is going to break out within them. And pay attention to what China's doing in the Fujian province. I told you the same thing about Ukraine. Russia and Ukraine, hey, pay attention to this military buildup. China's on their way into Taiwan. They're not going to wait much longer because they cannot let this situation fester. So pay very close attention. And I ain't saying it's going to happen tomorrow, next week, or even next month. But within the next 6 months to a year, China is going to go into Taiwan. All right, China is going to go into Taiwan. No questions asked. All right, man, also, all right, so that's the end of the political talk for today. That's the end of political talk for today. The next thing I wanted to discuss, man, is, you know, I'm just going to tell a story, and I'm going to put my opinion out here, man. All right, because I want people to hear me when I say this. Because, see, I think Israelites have gone the same way as Christians to a certain extent, right? Christians have their doctrine that they'll defend regardless of what scripture you show them. Israelites have gone in the same direction. They have a doctrine that they'll defend no matter what scripture you show them. All right, so I was speaking with one of my brothers, and he had a young Israelite, youngest, but I don't know how old the brother was, but only been in the truth about 3 months. And so, you know, we talking, and, you know, we'll mess around sometimes. We'll go on discussion to just camps, and I ain't here to bash no camp. I ain't. Do the will of God, however most high God lead you to do the will of God, but just listen to this. All right, guy's 3 months into the truth. He's just starting to get it. He say, man, I can't watch these camps because it seems like their goal is just to find a white person on the street and to tell them you ain't shit, you ain't ever going to be shit, your mama wasn't shit, and your daddy wasn't shit. I'm going to kill you or you're going to be my slave in the kingdom. You understand? So in his mind, he's like, man, I can't even learn what I need to learn. He said, I got to listen to the music. He got to listen to Hezekiah or Annabelle the Servant or whoever, all right, to get the real information. Or talk to me or talk to the brother who, you know, he hang out with more than me to get the information. Because if he's watching these videos, most of them when they're teaching on the street, the main goal is to find a white person and to bang on them. You understand? Understand this, man. You know, Christ even told us, the Messiah even told us that some people who are not of the tribes of Israel, some people who are not sons of Jacob, they're going to be sitting at the table with Christ, and some of the sons of Jacob are going to be in darkness where there's weeping and gashing of teeth. All right, he said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Those who do the will of my father. Make sure that you're not bastardizing somebody from God because of what you think they are. And I always make this quorum. I always have this question with them. If you get to the kingdom, if you see Christ, And you say, Christ, these damn heathens, I want to kill them all. And Christ said, well, son, you know, your great-great-great-great-grandfather was a Hamite. That makes you a damn heathen. So you're going to kill yourself? And the answer to 90% of people answer that question is, nah, I'm sorry, I don't want to kill myself. I served you my whole life. I did the commandments. I lived by the commandments. I lived by the book. I did everything I was supposed to do. But you're a heathen. So the same thing that you judge others, what you're going to have to judge yourself with. With all due respect, we know what happened during slavery. One reason, that's why I always say I get it, right? I get the detest because what the Bible tells us, surely oppression maketh a wise man mad. I get it, right? You go back and you study and you see these atrocities that happened to us over time. But one of the outcomes of that atrocities was we don't know how many people, how many of our women were raped by the slave masters and then put back in the field. And so these, what they call mulatto children, just continue to have sex with black people on down the line. You could be a damn Edomite. It's a pretty decent chance. Because the Bible tells us what? How do we judge our generations? By the lineage of the father. You don't know what your background is. 90% of us. Some of us, you know, Gad can actually trace their lineage back 10 generations. But then still, you never know who Assyrian, you never know. Alright, so why you out here bastardizing someone, and why you out here spending that time bastardizing someone because, not because of their actions, but because it's one thing to bastardize somebody because of their actions and say your action lines up to what the Bible says Edom would be. Bash him. Jacob Rothschild, he's Edom, his actions line up to what Edom was supposed to be in the Bible, the atrocity they was going to commit. Bash him. Someone on the street, you stupid N-word, bash him. But man, I seen the video. You know, some random dude walking down the street. Hey, come here, Edom. Let me get you. You're wasting your time, and you're wasting time that could be spent teaching somebody who really want to learn about Christ, who really want to learn how to live. All they learn is how to hate. Who is my mother? Who is my brother? Those who do the will of my father. I have not seen faith this great in all of Israel. He ain't say all of the north. He ain't say I ain't seen this great faith in all of the southern kingdom. I have not seen faith this great in all of Israel. So we got to be careful who we bash. And remember what Christ said, the scripture that Christians always use. Judge not, lest ye be judged. What in finish the scripture, though. You trying to pull a mote out of your brother's eye when there's a beam in your eye. You're going to be judged by the same thing you judge people by. So if you judge someone by their lineage and you get to the kingdom and Christ tell you your lineage ain't what you thought it was, keep in mind that the same thing that you wanted to put on them is going to be put on you. So you can assume that you know, but you don't know. So focus on serving the Most High God and teaching people how to serve the Most High God. See, Israelite promises you rulership. It does not promise you the kingdom. It says if you make it to the kingdom, you have a shot at rulership. Because what did John the Baptist say first? Think not to say I have Abraham to a father, because God can raise up sons of Abraham from these stones right here. You got to do the will of God. You got to keep the commandments and testimony. Testimony of the Messiah and the commandments of the Most High God. That's your requirements. And to teach as such, those who teach and do the commandments shall be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Those that just do the commandments, those who teach against the commandments, do the commandments going to be the least. So make sure that you're not spending your time bastardizing someone because of something that neither you can control or they can control. You don't have a heaven or hell to put anyone in. You better make sure you know where you're going. You better make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do, because the mission is not to tell people, he's a damn devil. I hate this too, right? You know, there were people in Geneva planning your destruction. I ain't see nobody hopping on a plane to Geneva to go tell them they're the damn devil. I don't see no people in New York going outside the United Nations watching these people come out and saying you the damn devil. I don't see none of y'all in New York lining up in front of Black Rock and watching the people come out that are literally planning your people's destruction every single day and telling them they the damn devil. But you talking about your day to tell some random white person on the street they the damn devil. they have more Israelite blood than you. You don't fucking know. Excuse my language. You don't know. You assuming. So make sure that you're keeping the commandments and the faith in the Messiah. And make sure you're teaching other people to do the same, man. Shalom. It's the Najat Nation episode. Masoto Brotherhood, man. I'll be back hopefully next week with another podcast, man. Shalom to you all, man. Godspeed. I appreciate you. Any questions, at Najat Melchizedek on Twitter. At the Najat on Twitter, at the Najat Melchizedek on Instagram. Follow me, shout me out, man. I appreciate it. I'll pray to the Most High Power.